Satsang with Maitreya, April 5th, 2003.
Good morning, everybody. This is Maitreya from the Mission Maitreya. Welcome to our Sarva Church and the Satsang Room. We are going to again study the mission and talk about what is happening in the world. You can see that the prophecies and what God said in the future, in the New Testament, in Revelation, it is coming through right in front of our eyes. You can see that the wars, and so far it was the rumors of the war, but now it's really the war has started, and the only war that will win the battle and the war is the ultimate war of God that is going on right now between humanity and the truth, or ego and the reality. And that truth and reality, of course, has come through this mission and has revealed to humanity that how we can create the kingdom of heaven on earth, and that is the only way humans should go, and any other world might win the battle, but they're not going to win the war, because it is not the scripture, it's not based on the word of God, and any war we are raging right now on earth is based on human ego, and human ego never wins, especially not in this time that word of God is on earth and it is going towards the creation of the kingdom of heaven on earth. Therefore, those who want to win should join the army of God. And the army of God, of course, it does not take any weapons or destruction, but the word of God, it comes out of the mouth of the people who have chosen by God to give his words to humanity, and like the sword is going to cut the untruth from the truth. So if you win, join this mission and this last stage of fulfillment of the prophets of God. We are just like people, we are in one room, just like earth is one room, and the door is locked, and we are prisoned in this room. If we create different groups, and each group oppose other groups, and start, you know, not cooperating with each other, are we going to ever get out of this locked room? It's going to be difficult to do. But if everybody cooperates together, we can see that we can get out of this room with cooperation, finding the way out. Of course, as I said many times, we can destroy ourselves more than 50 times. The destruction is coming if we do not follow the truth of God that is coming to us. But the cooperation and unity of all these groups together, we can reach to a space, and in a space, of course, we can have enough resources for everyone. What's the problem in on earth? The problem is really the resources, isn't it? We're fighting because of the resources. Because it's limited resources. If we had infinite resources, would we still fight over oil or over different commodity that we need on earth? No, we would not. We would probably have everything that we wanted. So the salvation is unity and reaching to the space and bringing the enough resources for everybody to have enough without being so adamant to have whatever we want. Because if we don't have it, somebody else is going to have it. So we have to fight with one another. So this unity of religions has come to humanity. The way to bring greater standard of living is given to man. The only thing we have to do is realize that that is the only way out. The more we, you know, scratch each other's face, what are we going to have? We're going to have more people angry with each other, aren't they? And the more war, no war is the last war as far as it's based on ego. The only last war can be the one that comes from God and based on His Word and His Scriptures and His Revelation. So we can see that we have the answer to human problem, to human calamity, and we can see right now the fulfillment of the prophecy that Europe will be unified very soon. We can see right now the split between the two spheres in the West, and it's pushing Europe to become more independent. There was an article that Germany and France is coming together, and actually they're cooperating as one unit, and pretty soon all the rest of the Europe also gonna fall in line with them, and we can see the next superpower is gonna be the Europe, who will emerge as in Brock's side as 10 toys of the statue in Daniel. Of course, we know that the statue, the toy, was made of clay and iron. Does clay and iron mix? It doesn't. So it means, although they're still powerful, and the base of the whole statue is not going to be able to hold together, because iron and clay will not statue will fall. So we can see very clearly, nobody has clearer vision than the mission of what is coming. So really, if you want to know the news of what is coming, don't listen to NBC or CBS or anything. Listen to this Aslan. This is the real news that God has given to humanity. Come and listen. The truth is here. This is the salvation. This is the way out. And now we are giving to humanity. And if you are here and listen to this, you see, yeah, I shouldn't be following the, you know, other things or other news out there, because this is the only way it's gonna take me to salvation and out of this mess that human ego has created. Okay? You don't have to, you know, but where are you gonna end? You're not gonna end into the kingdom of heaven on earth. So you can see the whole thing is coming together very, very clearly. The vision becomes clearer, clearer every day. And now humanity have to come and listen and learn about this revelation and see what are they teaching here. The old ways are not going to work anymore. The old ways are based on ego. It's based on human understanding. It's based on political maneuvering and geopolitical domination. This is not going to work. This world is becoming smaller and smaller, and people becoming more aware of their rights, and they're going to fight back, and you're going to fight them back, and eventually, what's good going to left? Of course, we know God prophesied that one third of the world is going to be destroyed. It's very hard when you look at how many people are suffering from all sides in this war and destruction. What should we hold our vision into? We should hold the vision of God, that yes, this destruction is going to come. Also, intellectually we understand that, still we get affected with the news of how people are dead or dying and destruction and all that. And if you have the universal feeling and vision, no matter who dies, you say that was the essence of God that was destroyed. That person could be meditating the rest of the life, realizing the eternal divine path and reaching true consciousness, no matter what side they are from. Because the sense of God is in everything. You see, according to the mission, when you realize the essence of God of everything, can you say, are condemned? You can't say that anymore. You can say, everything is God. You know, we shouldn't destroy any of the soul. We have to be sorry or unhappy with any side who become destroyed. So we can see that this revelation, this mission is based on compassion, love and universalism, and is based on the unity of humanity together and coming together and seeing this new way that God has given to man to get out of this mess that he has created. Of course, when you meditate in a deeper level, that this is the word of God. It is not that God is destroying them. It is not God doing destruction. human ego brings this disunity and destruction on humanity that we can see is going on. Actually, it's been going on for the last 2,000 years. It's not something new that's just happening here. But now, of course, it's going to be intensified. So, then what is the way out? The way out is the new thinking of humanity. Seeing that there has to be another way out. And the way out is, of course, is our teaching. The way out is eternal divine path. First of all, one of the biggest problems between humanity is religious separation. Mm-hmm. Also, the war is going on based on salvation of Iraq or getting Iraq out of what it was used to. What's the Muslim thinking the war is about? Mm-hmm. They think it's attacking the religion, right? Mm-hmm. Okay. So, if they realize that Christianity and all other religions is of a greater revelation, then do we have such a separate feeling from each other? So we can see the first step is to make everybody realize that God's revelation to this point was separated because each of them was revealing a part of a greater truth. So that's one way of bringing humanity to unity and oneness, to make them realize that all revelation of God have come to humanity for a greater reason. Of course, that is the eternal divine path. That is our teaching to humanity, to let them know that all the God's revelation is based on each religion, and each religion is a part of a greater truth. After doing that, of course, we can go ahead and create covenants of light. In the covenants of light, of course, man has the ultimate vote, the ultimate truth, or ultimate thing on earth. So the great directive is you have to create an earth that each individual has the greatest right to be here, and they are protected, and every man and woman and child and humanity should be given all the opportunities to progress physically, mentally, and spiritually. So we have a great task in front of us, but that task has been said that will manifest itself. God said His kingdom will come. Not something that we are going to do it, already prepared. Those people who have called for this mission are on earth already. So we need a new way of thinking. We have to make man to be born again. To be born again is to change man a new way of seeing the earth, to seeing the world. To seeing the world of God is the most updated news and the way for humanity to salvation, physically, mentally, and spiritually. Therefore, we encourage everybody to go to our website again, to come to this room, listen to the satsang, listen to the reading that people here in this room do every day and give you all the answers. Don't come here to fight with them. Don't come here to disagree with them. If you really understand that this is the way and salvation, come here and learn. What is the new way of thinking? What's the new way of seeing the truth? What did God say? Did God say there was going to be seven revelations? Seven seals, and when the seven seals open, then did the truth come? Or here come here and say, no, my religion says this, I'm the last one, so I am. But your religion also says that, I said, it is the whole truth. So I'm the only way. But Christ said, you know, I'm going to return. He didn't say how many times. He said He's going to return. He's going to return over and over and over. He didn't say, I'm going to return one more time. No, He said, I'm going to return. Yes. So, come here and learn from this revelation and be open to it and open yourself up to the truth, and then you will not be affected with what is happening. This is going to get worse. We haven't even seen the beginning of it yet. I know it's very depressing. A lot of people are very depressed of what is happening, but unfortunately we have to become stronger than we are. You have to see the word of God, which said if this thing is going to happen, and therefore become detached of it. We are not attached to any side, we just are attached to God. Therefore, we are not affected with anything happening on earth or around us, because we know the ultimate truth is going to come as God says it's going to come, the kingdom of heaven on earth. And of course, after 1,000 years, we all with this true consciousness, and we'll be with God all together as one. So, come here and know the eternal divine path. That is the salvation of man. Of course, you might ask, what is the eternal divine path? You are talking about the salvation of man and the eternal divine path. And what is it? It's very simple. It is based on our teaching, based on what we call the greatest sign. If you go to our website, www.maitreya.org, you will see an animated sign in the very first page, and that animated sign is called the greatest sign, and the greatest sign reveals that there have been seven great revelations which God sent to humanity. And before the seventh seal is opened, every part of the greatest sign before the seventh revelation is a part of a greater truth that created a religion on earth. So each religion on earth is valid, but they don't have the whole seven revelations together. And now they are put together, and a path is revealed to humanity as the eternal divine path. It is eternal because it is created in its eternity. It is divine because it leads you to divinity, one with God. And it is a path, it is a way, it doesn't have any dogma. You don't have to believe in any dogma, but if you follow the eternal divine path, you will go to God. Okay? You will seek salvation. The first seventh eternal divine path is awakening of your spiritual forces. 3,000 years ago, at the time of the Noah, God made the spiritual forces of human latent in the very bottom of their spine, what many mystics call Kola Kundalini. That latent spiritual forces is your birthright to awaken and see the truth. And the fastest way to do that is to meditate, to use the mantras that Nishin has given to you, to create an environment to be able to sit and meditate and awaken your spiritual forces. So the first step is meditation, knowing thyself, know thyself to know God, God and you are one, and recognizing and realizing that not only God and you are one, but God is everything. Everything out there is a part of God. And an essence of God is also in every human being and creation. Actually, God is in every atom that you look. Okay? So the very word that we reveal in the mission is the part of atom. Each atom has that word, that pulsation of life in them. So, the first step is to awaken your spiritual forces. Who says awaken your spiritual forces? We can see that any religion is based on these two. It's like Hinduism, Buddhism, what the Hindus are trying to do. They become a drop and fall into the ocean and become one with God. Does that mean? It means know thyself. Know to know God. Therefore, the first step is to awaken our spiritual forces. But do you think the people in a war, can they sit and say, I meditate and I'm going to awaken my spiritual forces, but the bombs are coming to my head? Can somebody do that? Or if you're hungry and you don't have any place to sleep or leave, can you say, okay, I don't care about if I have enough to eat or I have a place to sleep, I'm going to sit and meditate there? Can they do that? So what is the requirement of having your spiritual forces? So the first requirement is have an environment that your physiological and safety needs is taken care of. If your physiological and safety is not taken care of, the first priority in life is to take care of our physiological and safety needs. So, you can see the next step revealed to humanity in the Old Testament. In the Old Testament, God is trying to create a people, the tribe of Israel. What is the tribe? Tribe is a community. It's a tribe of Israel which will follow God and bring God's word to their life and follow His laws and help each other to create an environment that everybody can progress and have time to meditate and meditate. So really, before you be awaken our official forces, what should we create first? An environment that we even be able to sit and meditate. Do we have an environment on earth right now that everybody can do that? No, we don't. So our first priority in the mission actually is not to have our visual forces. It's what? To create that environment not for ourselves, for the whole humanity to be able to sit and meditate. But it's another one, but it's absolutely connected to one another. Actually, somebody was telling me, how come some people are with you for 20 years and they are not in pure consciousness yet? I said, because they delay their going to pure consciousness in order to create that environment for themselves and others and eventually being the kingdom of heaven on earth. Then everyone can sit down and meditate and awaken their spiritual forces. This is the Bible says, He will bring an environment that the lion and the lamb will lie together and will not eat each other, and everybody will put the instrument of war away, and that is where we are aiming at. Eventually we reach a point, we will not have this war. We will have an earth that everybody is safe and has their physiological and safety needs taken care of. Therefore, they can extend their time to meditate and have spiritual forces and bring, you know, the kingdom of heaven on earth. So, right now we are not trying to have spiritual forces. So we are trying to create the fullness of life. And that is where we should be aiming and working toward. Of course, that is Old Testament. The Old Testament, the whole base of the Old Testament is based on creation of community. And therefore, we covered not only the mystical path like Hinduism, Buddhism, Kabbalah, and all the mystical paths on earth, Sufism and all that. The next step is the Judaism, or Hebrews, Old Testament. Therefore, the message of Old Testament is creation of the communities of life. Can we all in the communities of life say, what is in for me? I want all the goodies for myself, and I'm not going to give it to everybody else. I want the best, you know, standard of living. I want to have the best car. I want to have the best house. I want the best everything. And the rest of people have enough to progress? Of course not. Therefore, sharing and sacrifice come in. Of course, as I said, if we can reach to a space and bring more resources, we don't have to share or to sacrifice as much. Everybody's standard of living is going to go up. Or at least realizing that the goal of life is not to have the biggest car or best home. The goal of life is to become divine, to become one with God. Therefore, the more you feel the goal of life is to become one with God, the less material thing you need. The less material thing you need, some of the material thing you can give to someone else. Also, they can have a physiological asset to be taken care of, and therefore they can also sit and meditate and awaken themselves. Therefore, the third step in the eternal development is sacrifice. And of course, we know who made the greatest sacrifice among the prophets. Christ was the one who was crucified, who was nailed to the cross and left there to die. And that is not a pleasant way to die, especially for a person who had no guilt or had not done anything wrong. But still people crucify him and say all bad things about him. It happened to every prophet. Now you might say, this didn't happen to you. No? Or you don't know. It's just probably we're not put on the cross and nailed us to Christ. But if anybody come and say, you know, Micah is a false prophet, that's a crucifixion. That is crucifying somebody who has no guilt and brought the greatest revelation to humanity. Would you like somebody to come every day and say you're a devil? Or fight with you? You can see that crucifixion happens every time in the life of the prophet, and also happens to the people who follow the prophet, of course. You know, they are also crucified because they followed the truth. But that is the third step, to sanctify, to share, to bring some of your blessing of God to other people so they also can have an environment they can also meditate and have a spiritual process. And that is, of course, the message of Christ, Christianity, the New Testament. That was what he was trying to say. You know, if you have a coat, if you have two coats, give one of them to another person. So that is sacrifice, isn't it? Okay. So we can see that that brings the Christianity to the eternal divine path. Now they all do all those things. He tries to have economic supporters. Of course, first he tries to create the comings of light, the sacrifice for it, and comings of light start happening. He says, I am creating the comings of light. I am working so hard. I am the person working hardest than anybody else, and nobody really working as hard as I do. I am the person who really holding this mission on my hand and carrying it out. What happened? He created a big ego and said, oh, I am such a wonderful, you know, person that I'm doing all these things. You create an ego. The moment you get ego, what happens? What is ego? Ego is an umbrella that we hold over our head, and we cut the shower of grace from God to us. Yeah. If you want the grace, you should not have any. The less ego we have, the greater grace is going to come to us. Or nothing is happening, nothing goes right, and we start thinking about, wow, you know, I'm putting so much effort and truth in, out, and it's not happening, and you become discouraged. And still, you think you are the doer, therefore you become discouraged. So the first step is surrender to God and say, okay God, I'm doing all these things, but I am surrendering the result to you. As I said myself, it doesn't mean we don't expect a result. We do expect a result. But we are not attached to the result. Okay, so we expect a result, but we are not attached to it. Greater than surrendering of the submission. Submission means I am not the doer. Actually, I do not exist. There's two ways of looking at it. Some people have, we have souls. And some people say, we don't have souls. Because that's one of another unified here. I was thinking, what unified in this mission? In this mission, we also unified. That we really don't have a soul. We do have a soul because of ego. But we don't have a soul because the soul and God are one. If we really feel like God, do we have soul anymore? No, the only thing left in us is God. We have no soul left, so soul itself can be kind of a delusion really for humanity. They think they have a soul, but really God agrees, we do not agree. So if we reach that point, then we are absolutely subject to God. I'm not the doer. God is the doer all the time, and therefore how can I be attached to the result of my action or other people's action if I'm not doing anything? God is doing it through me. So that is, of course, the message of Islam. Islam means surrendering and submit to God. And if we come to the point that we can surrender and submit to God, then we can see absolutely that God and our us are one, and we become an absolute pure channel for God. And is God perfect? Yes, He is. If He is perfect, we do perfect job every time, in every situation, and we are not become elated too much or depressed. We become steady in our life. This is the highest spiritual realization. What is the goal of the spiritual journey? To become one with God? If you are submissive to God, and God comes through you all the time, you are one with God, and you have reached the goal of the spiritual journey. One more step in your path, and that's becoming universal. As I say, it's all connected. The moment you become one with God, can't you not to be universalist? Can you say, I'm one with God, but I separate myself from this part of the universe and other parts of the universe? Automatically you can't, because God, at that moment you realize God is everything. If God is really coming through you, you see God is in everything outside and inside. And therefore you see God, He is the whole universe. I am a part of it. Me and God are one. I am willing to put my life based on reaching pure consciousness, and therefore I don't need too much. I can share with other people. I can create the communist of life and let other people out to progress and tell them how to practice everything. And they become universalists. And universalism, the magic of universalism came from Baha'i and Bab teaching that is now called Baha'i religion on earth. So we can see it is five steps, awakening of the spiritual forces, all the mystical path, Buddhism, Hinduism, Christian mystics, Kabbalah, Sufis, all religion, like American Indians, shamans in Australia, and every other religion that says know thyself, know God, or God is everything, you know, just like they see God in trees and roofs and wind, and just they realize God is everything. Okay, the greatest spirit is in every aspect in our life. You try to create a community of life, an environment that everybody can meditate, awaken their spiritual forces. The Old Testament, you will sacrifice for this idol. New Testament, you become surrendered and submitted to God. Islam, and you become a universalist, Baha'i teaching, and therefore, or Bab's teaching, and therefore, you become an elect. Elect is in every scripture. You take and look, it talks about my people. People God will choose as His people, and they bring the kingdom of heaven within and without for humanity. Of course, that is the sixth seal, distributed with the great spiritual teacher in India, Shri Shri Anandamurti, or T.R. Sarkar. This is T.R. Sarkar, it's not T.K. Sarkar. I guess somehow they have a T.K. Sarkar somewhere in the Sarkar, but it's really T.R. Sarkar. And he brought the concept of Sadhipa, that he expanded on it, and with his revelation, it becomes Paradipa. Para means beyond, Dipa means intellect. In beyond intellect, in spirit, in intuition, in greater than analyzing of world out there, but realizing God within. With this, of course, we will bring all these elects together, and that is what the mission is all about, to find these elects. Of course, when I started the mission, I thought all the elects are going to be perfect. You know, the elects have been added for the last 2,000 years. They're going to be perfect when it comes to the mission. Of course, the new revelation for last year or so, evolving to, they have 1,000 years to become perfect. So even elects are not completely perfect yet. That is why I created great compassion for them. Then I received this new understanding of who the elects are. Before that, I was looking for perfection. They said they're going to come here and they're going to be perfect. They're going to realize the eternal divine path and get with the work right away and start helping. But of course I realized that we have to work with them still to become even greater perfection in them, and maybe in 1,000 years we're going to have millions of billions of perfected people that we can all go to Godhead together. So these elects are the people you are looking for. There are people who see this revelation, this explanation, and say, yes, how can it be one God, so many religions? That God said there's going to be seven revelations. That God said, after the revelation of the seven seal, the mystery of God will be finished. That God said, only the person who fulfills all His promises can bring this truth, and therefore it is from God. Now we can see also the external event is supporting our teaching absolutely and completely, and we are going to the last part of God's plan. So come, get on with the mission, get on with this revelation and truth. Don't let the external world and what's happening to it affect you. I know it's hard to do that. I know it's hard to, with all our understanding, still we are going to get affected. But the more you meditate and more realize this teaching, the less you will be affected with the external world, and you will be looking forward actually to peace, unity, and the kingdom of heaven on earth. The more we bring people together as the scripture says, after the great Babylon will fall, it is our time to come out and manifest this truth to humanity. This is the base of our teaching. This is the latest news and the greatest news for humanity. Go and tell people that we have the good news, greatest news at this time, and let them know that there is a way out. We don't have to have this destruction. We don't have to have this kind of a separation between man and man. We have to make a new man that they can see each other as a part of God, not separate one another because of the nationality, gender, culture, and all that. If they don't do that, they will destroy themselves more and more. If they realize that there is only one God and we are all a part of Him, we will not separate any part of God from any part, and He will create compassion for every being on earth, and then we will bring the kingdom of heaven on earth. Now I leave the room open for any questions you might have. Just raise your hand and come to Mike and ask the question you might have about any topics. Of course, let us keep it very high about the mission and greater things that we can relate to. There are many questions that have already been answered. You can find them in the website. If you go to our e-commerce room and there is a search engine, search for any topics you have a question for, and actually you can go right away and listen to it. If you have a computer and Windows Media Player, you can go ahead and listen to those fast lines right there in our website. But if you have any new questions or anything you have in your mind, go ahead. We have a question here. John, go ahead.
Shalom, Maitreya. My question is about the relationship between Dharma and Atman.
Okay.
If there is one, and the levels.
What levels?
Like a universal Dharma and a universal Atman. If there's any relationship between that.
Okay, John's question is about Dharma and Atman and how they led to different levels of karma, of individual karma, community karma, collective karma. Is that what you're saying?
I think so.
Yeah. All right. Okay. Okay. Soul and karma. As you said, when the first time universe was created, the first feeling was I know, and then of course I do. The moment you do, it didn't say I am submitted to God, God is doing it through me, did it? He says, I do. So the first I was created in the universe. The unit consciousness, the illusion of separation from God has created. The moment they I do, you are the doer, therefore whatever you do has a reaction according to action you do in the universe. Therefore, that first feeling I do create the first karma. And that unit consciousness starts having karmic reaction into the universe. So the karma created, and the moment karma created, of course, ego will be evolved because you create subconscious mind. The moment you create karma, you have a subconscious mind. You have a memory which is different than universal memory. Okay. It is your memory which is different than universal memory. It becomes subconscious mind because it's no longer unconscious mind or the conscious of God. Okay. And therefore you become separated from God right away the moment that I do. Actually, what is the way of getting rid of that karmic, you know, creation? Submission and surrendering, isn't it? If we submit and surrender to God and we know God is doing it through us all the time, will we create karma anymore? We're not saying I am the doer. As I said, the first expression on the universe was, I know. Knowing doesn't create karma, does it? I know. Okay. I know, God knows. Unless my knowing and God's knowing is different, again, we will be two different entities. But the moment he said, I do, He also created the memory I have done. That memory of I have done separated the unit consciousness from the universe and created that separation between the two beings. And you create the illusion of separation from God. So the karma is really action done by an individual feeling separated from God. For action is which is not based on the universal setup. That is what many people call sin. If you sin, some Catholic churches say the moment you sin, your spirit becomes darkened, you create a karma. Because they don't have any explanation about karma and how it affects you in the universe, they say your spirit becomes darkened. Therefore the karma is the result of being separated from God and acting separate from the universal setup. So after this individual unit consciousness is created, did they all did the same thing or talk the same way or had the same memory? They start doing different things. So each individual creates separate karma. So they became billions of billions of billions of separated unit consciousness and the whole universe, and they all separated themselves from each other. Why me and you are not one? Because you have your own ego, your own setup of memory, your own karma or subconscious mind. Of course, the more we follow eternal one path, the more we become one. Why? Because we all become submitted to God, don't we? And the will of God is creation of the consciousness of light and the following of the knowledge of God. You become more and more like each other, become closer. Unless the last moment that we all merge to God and become one, we have some common goals, some common basis with one another. Do we create a collective karma now? We become similar, don't we? But we become different for whom? We become different with another group. It doesn't follow us and only one path. So we create collective karma. Do all the Jewish people have the same kind of the base of understanding the religion? Not all of them do, but they have some similarities with each other. Therefore they create a collective karma. Do our Muslims have the base of their teaching that they make them closer to each other? They created some kind of collective karma. To Christian, do they have a basic, you know, understanding of the religion that creates a kind of a collective difference than God's way of thinking about religion? So they created a collective, you know, karma. So the only way to get rid of the karma is to come one with God. And that is, of course, surrendering and submission and following of the eternal divine path. So there is an individual karma, which is person remembers, does, and has memory. This is collective karma, that's a group's for elimination. Do Americans almost think the same way? Or Iraqis do the things very similar? Have some kind of a collective karma together? But accepting a set of belief that they think is the truth, that's one of the reasons they are fighting with each other, don't they? American has a collective consciousness of believing a set of belief, and Iraqis have a collective consciousness of believing a set of belief, and they, at least Saddam Hussein, have a set of way of thinking that he believes the best way to go, and they conflict with God. Now, how can we unify all these groups together? Make them think like God. Let God come through. Will we then have different separate karma? We won't. We will become all one with God and unite together. So the question about individual karma is your memory, your actions, your subconscious mind about the collective karma is the whole earth. The whole earth has some kind of a setup of thinking. That is their collective karma. So the collective karma is the group karma, is the national karma, is anything that bonds some people together, and they take it up for collective reaction. That's why they suffer together in a group. When a group is together and some calamity comes to them, wouldn't all of them suffer at the same time? So they pay for their karma collectively. If a nation has a collective karma together, if a war comes together, won't they all suffer together? So you can see that when they have a collective karma, they also suffer together. You suffer for your individual karma. And what is all this karma all about? Karma is to learn your lesson. To realize that the reason you pay this karma is because you think, act, remember different than God. The more you surrender and submit to God and you let God come through, the less karma you will have and you will create, and you will have your greater freedom to our God. Any other question? Well, Brad? Brad, you still have problem with your mic. We didn't hear what you said. If you want to type it, that is okay. Go ahead. I couldn't hear anything here. Did anybody hear anything? Okay, yeah, apparently other people are also not hearing you, Brad. Go ahead and type it. You still have a problem with your mic. Okay, his question is, where did your explanation of gravity in Do come from? You mean that I got it, or where did gravity itself come from? Well, of course, anything in a mission all come from God. So I read and I study and keep my intellectual curiosity sharp, and because anything you don't use, you lose. It's a fact of life. So if you don't exercise and you keep your muscles not move, you become flabby and lose muscle mass. If you don't eat and study and go to the internet and search for the things you want to know, you don't progress mentally. So this revelation is a combination of mental and a spiritual revelation. So I heard about the forces that the scientists have discovered, and then of course I came to the conclusion that you didn't know that the gravity is the power of the mass in the universe, because tamaguna has the power of attraction and purification, therefore it has the power of pulling things towards the center. And when the mass becomes large, the gravity becomes greater degree. He says it is different from most science and physics. Of course, many things we say in the mission is different than scientists and physicists. We, for example, explain the evolution differently than scientists. They say everything is based on chance, or things evolved by themselves. And they put God out of it. You know, they say there is no such a thing as God. They think of gravity as a force. According to our teaching, gravity is not a force. Gravity is the reason for the presence of the tamaguna. The explanation is different than scientists, absolutely, because gravity is not a force, because it doesn't exist until you have the mass. Of course, everything has the gravity, but it doesn't become effective until there is the mass of matter, and then gravity exists, and the reason for gravity pulls things toward itself. What the tamaguna does? Doesn't tamaguna also pulls everything to the center? It crucifies. It makes the consciousness to ether, and then air, and then to fire, and then to liquid and solid. So that power of gravity is the power of tamaguna, therefore it is not really a force. You ever see it? Did you find it?
It's under the definition of Adam. You want me to read that part?
Okay, go ahead.
Science also regards gravity as one of the forces in creation. However, gravity is the pull, total amount of strong force and mass. Because the total amount of strong force and mass varies as the mass varies, that is why the greater or tenser the mass, greater the gravity is in it.
Yeah, you just look at Do again, and John just said it, I don't know if you heard it or not. That's exactly what the explanation is. The strong force, as we explained, Do, is the force of Tamaguna. It's strong because it crucifies the consciousness to different matter and level. Therefore, every particle in the universe has gravity because of the Tamaguna. It's not a force by itself, but it's the result of the Tamaguna which it crucifies the consciousness. Therefore, it is not a force by itself, but is actually the Tamaguna and is a strong force. It's a part of strong force, not a separate force. So that is the explanation. Why the explanation is differently than scientists, and that makes more sense than being a force by itself. Go ahead, Kim Jin.
What is Buddhist enlightenment compared to Christian being saved? I've had like this feeling of I should become a Buddhist. I'm a Catholic Christian, but I'm really attracted to meditation and enlightenment. Can you give me some advice on that?
Well, Buddhism is part of Advaita universe which supports us. To become enlightened really means to know yourself and become a part of God. And according to our teaching, even Buddhism and Hinduism is not perfect. So I cannot advise you to go join Buddhism because I don't believe it's a perfect religion or teaching. The most perfect thing is the only one to pass our teaching. So I can advise you, if you really want to become enlightened, is to join the mission and follow the eternal divine path. But if you want to know about Buddhism, Buddha really came to reform Hinduism. That's what these two religions are very close. Buddha had enough of all the gods that Hindus follow. Those gods have become such an obstacle in the way of the Hindus that he came and he said, no, don't worry about gods, know thyself, and reach Nirvana, which he explained as something that you reach and it's unexplainable, same as God, that we say is unexplainable, and some people say Nirvana is nothingness. It is not really nothingness, it is the state of complete absorption to the one and unmanifested consciousness, and therefore Buddha did believe in something that some religion called God, and he called it Nirvana to separate that from the Hinduism. And he tried to release Hindus from so many gods and rituals that were an obstacle in the path toward becoming one with their essence. Therefore, Buddhist thousands of meditation are taken up with the forces. Therefore, it's part of the mystical path and is the first step actually in the eternal divine path in our teaching. The next step is the Old Testament, Krishna becomes alive, and the next is New Testament, sacrificing for the community to create it. The next step is Islam, to become surrender and submit to God and become universalist. If you follow this step, you will receive salvation or enlightenment as the Buddhists teach you to reach. So my recommendation is, go to our website, read our teachings, and more questions to ask if you have one. But I cannot recommend you to join any other religion before this revelation, because I do not believe any of them are perfect, and this is the perfect path to join and progress.
So no matter what you do or choose, meditation, the real key to everything?
Not the real key, but it's the beginning. Also, meditation is different kinds. There is formal meditation that you sit and meditate. There are meditation that some people do gardening. They feel that they are meditating. That is their way of meditation. Some people go for long drives. That is their way of meditation. Some people go fishing or go to the mountain or go climbing, mountain climbing, or whatever makes you concentrate on a deeper level of your soul is meditation. But formal meditation, of course, is the fastest way to go, but some people have hard time to meditate formally because they drink too much coffee or they eat too much of a tamasic or food that they are not letting them have a calm mind. Going for a ride, for example, is easier for them than formally sit and meditate because that obstacle that they put in body did not let them to meditate easily. Of course, that is why the Krishna of the Covenant of Life will help them to meditate easier because their physiological and safety is going to be taken care of, and also they're going to have better nutritional food, less meat or tamasic food with the food in the body, and therefore they can meditate better. And of course, greater than meditation and all effort is the grace, and the grace is the fastest way towards God. And therefore it is a very range of possibility how to go to God. But if you follow the eternal divine path, the more you follow the eternal divine path, the greater grace you will receive, and the greater grace you receive, the less meditation you need. And even when you meditate, you are in an ecstasy of being in the grace. So that's one of the things that the Christianity teaches, and it's one of the most important things which a lot of mystical paths don't emphasize. And that grace is a very important part of God's plan, and if you can evoke the grace of God toward you, you will receive greater joy and happiness and to you. You know, and of course, creating grace means, you know, to do the will of God, to follow the eternal divine path, to really meditate, or at least try to meditate, awaken your spiritual forces, try to create the community of life, sacrifice for it, and then submit and become the universalist. If you don't do those things, then you're not following the eternal divine path. Even if you sacrifice and you resent that you're sacrificing, you're not really sacrificing. Your ego is in the way. You're not doing it from your heart. You're not doing it because you want to do it in a greater degree. The spiritual path is not an easy path, but with eternal divine path, it makes it thousands of times easier. But you have to necessarily seal very deeply. Awaken your spiritual forces. What does that mean? Meditate on each seal. What does that mean to awaken my spiritual forces? It means that I start to know myself. If you don't know yourself, then you're not genuinely awakening your spiritual forces. No matter how long you stay in the mission, but I don't know myself, it doesn't make any difference. And change of the commons of life. What does that mean? It means to join with the like-minded people. Try to create an environment that, you know, everybody can meditate. Sacrifice. Sacrifice means I do from my heart. Not I do it because there is a community pressure or anything like that, but I do it because I want to. And of course, surrender and submission to God means you really do meditate, you really do create comes of God, you really do sacrifice, and then you are not attached to the resolve, and you're absolutely say, let God come through and do my work. If you can let God come through all the time, you are one with God, you have reached, you know, enlightenment. You have reached true consciousness. You have reached Godhead, whatever you want to call it. You know, you have reached salvation. It doesn't matter what religion calls them. That's what it means. Me and God are one. And of course, you have to become universal and expand your mind to include everything in the universe as a part of God, and accept them and respect them because of that. So this is the fastest way to salvation. And Buddhism is really reformation of Hinduism, and that is why it expressed so fast for some time in Hindu culture, and eventually, of course, it went mostly to the north of India, and Hinduism again became the main religion in India. But Buddha was a reformer of Hindu religion. Actually, Buddhists try very hard to make the distinction between Buddhism and Hinduism, but you really, really study them, it's just the terminology changes a little bit, but the goal is the same. Hinduism wants to become a part of God, Buddhism becomes enlightened. So in a higher level, both say the same thing. John, I have a question here. Go ahead.
My question is about, like, when I'm working, and I'm very high on God, I feel very good. And then I come home, and I meditate a little, and I read the scripture, and I go to sleep very happy. But then I wake up the next morning to take a shower or something, and the ego is back, and the mind's going in all directions. I don't feel connected. How can I stay connected when I wake up?
Just go to work. What's the sleep? The sleep is really a temporary death. We really die, in a sense, we are completely dead. And why do we sleep anyway? Why humanity needs to sleep? We sleep because we need to go through deeper level and see ourselves and connect to the universal mind and learn what is going wrong with our life or how we can improve ourselves or let the mind, as most of the time I compare that to the fragmentation of the computer hard disk. So when you go in the morning out and there's so many energies and things get to your brain and mind, so your brain becomes completely fragmented. Also you are feeling good and you're feeling high. Many things is affecting you subconsciously. Just like in finding the crimes, they hypnotize them. And then you hypnotize a person, you can't remember the car's number, although they would not remember the usual. So it means you remember 50 times more than your conscious mind lets you remember. If I ask you what was the plaque number of the car, you might not remember it. But if I hypnotize you, then you will remember it because it comes from your subconscious mind. Your subconscious mind picks up 50 times greater information than your conscious mind does. So although you feel good and you think you're not affected in your environment, you are. Environment is affecting you all the time. Okay, that's why, again, they have to say the comings of life, the pure environment, that even your subconscious mind doesn't pick up all these images that we can see that completely are ungodly and take us away from deeper level and God way of thinking. So with the VSD, we defragment, we get rid of those images, we go to deeper level in our being. Okay, that's what the sleep is about. What is death? Death is a period that we die to really go deeper and realizing what we have done wrong. But our conscious mind is so limited. Therefore, we do not know deeper level who we are and how we are affected with the thing. Actually, if you meditate, the more you meditate, the less sleep you need. If you can really meditate, you can decrease your time of sleep. So deep meditation itself is sleep. So you consciously feel good, you consciously feel godly, you consciously feel great. But your subconscious mind is picking up all those things, and then you come home and you go and fall asleep, where do you go? You go to deeper level. You're not elated in a conscious level, but realizing deeper in subconscious and unconscious mind that usually you probably don't want to even look at it, because conscious mind is happy, but subconscious mind has things have to work with. Okay. So when you wake up in the morning, you are more in subconscious mind than your conscious mind. Therefore, you see ego is back. You try to get rid of it. If you have get rid of your ego, it shouldn't be there in the morning either, would it? So you really haven't get rid of the ego or subconscious mind, but you consciously made yourself feel good or thought about God and some godly. Also, you were affected in your environment. So when you sleep and you wake up in the morning, the ego is back. So the first answer is meditate more, meditate deeper. If you need more than 5-6 hours of sleep, then you need to meditate more. Because five, 6 hours of sleep should be enough for anybody. If it's not, then you really don't know yourself, and your subconscious mind needs more time to defragment and get a thread of the thing you don't want to see yourself. So meditate more, and as you meditate more and more and deeper, less and less you will need to sleep, and eventually you wake up in the morning, you feel great, you feel wonderful, you feel God, and actually you put your head down on the lap of God at night, and you sleep with God all night, and we wake up in the morning, still you're sleeping, right, God is beside you, and you know your ego is no longer there. So the answer again is deeper realization of self. And also meditate on why you feel elated and good in the surface, it sounds like it. But in a deeper level, you are seeing it work. So go to deeper than just being happy in the surface. But see, are you happy very deep inside? And meditate in a deeper level so you know yourself in a deeper level. So the deeper we go, the deeper we meditate, the less we sleep we need. And also when we wake up, we will be much more fresh and ready to go and united. All right, sounds like there is no more question in the room. I leave you all to God. Think about this satsang. Of course, the satsang will be in the room maybe tomorrow or the day after. Again, listen to it and let everybody know this is the best place to have the latest news and what is coming up. You can reach out, let everybody know that there is a way out of this earth and the mess that they have created. The way is definitely not the one path. God's ways and coming of the kingdom of God on earth. Let them know the news, the good news, the great news, and let all come join, create communities of light. And eventually other people also see this is the truth, this is the way, and we may bring the kingdom of heaven on earth, and everybody will be respected, will be given the opportunity to physically, mentally, and spiritually progress to the higher. Tell them everybody.